let's find out first and foremost how you got involved in this study, when you got involved in this research.
Well, on 9/11, the story didn't make sense to me. And when I saw these buildings appear to unravel like a sweater, you know, buildings don't do that. And I looked at my colleagues. We were in a faculty conference room looking on the big screen television. I looked at them like, this is kind of a joke out of, you know, War of the Worlds, except video, the video presentation of it. And they looked at me like I was nuts. And I quickly learned that you can't talk about certain things. Not allowed to question things out loud. But am I going crazy or is the rest of the world? Now, I'm objective. How would you know? And I started making some calculations about how long it would take the towers to go away and what I would anticipate. And no, something doesn't add up. But no one else seemed too bothered by it. And I tried to put it aside for a while and, you know, do my work. But then it got to the point where I couldn't set it aside any longer, because whose job is it to say, hey, something here is not right? Do you just go along with the herd, or do you stop and speak out? And I remember the day I said that to my mother, and she said, well, if you speak out, you won't have a job anymore. And I said, if I don't, no one will. And I still feel that to be the case.
Well, you know, you've got incredible expertise, Judy. You know, you've got the kind of background that engineers need in order to talk about what you're going to be talking about with us tonight. We'll probably learn some things from you. Let's go back for a moment, and I do find it very strange in terms of timing. You're on with us at the point where Osama bin Laden apparently has been shot and killed, which occurred Sunday into Monday, and we'll get into that a little bit later on as well. I remember my daughter calling me on that day, saying, Dad, you've got to watch television, because I had just done my St. Louis late night talk show and I was sleeping, and she woke me up, and sure, I turned on the television set and sure enough saw the tragedy of the second plane hit one of the towers, and I couldn't believe it. And at that time they were talking about some 30,000 people trapped in the building. Thank God there wasn't nearly that amount of people there. And I just sat there in awe, Judy. But the thing that I found strange for me, and this is from a broadcaster, not an engineer by any means, was the ease at how these buildings fell apart. You don't like to use the word collapse. We'll talk about that in a moment. But they just seemed to crumble. And then the other one crumbled. And then the World Trade Center Tower 7 crumbled. And was never hit. And all that to me was very bizarre. No question in my mind, I saw planes hit them, but I didn't understand how buildings like that could crumble so fast. And as we discuss this tonight, I want to make it perfectly clear of your deepest condolences, as well as ours, to the victims, the family members, and everybody involved in this horrible, horrible episode. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to try to get some additional answers to a story that just obviously doesn't seem to go away. It's been 10 years since the tragedy, almost, of 9/11. And at this point, when you talk to people, Judy, what do they say? I mean, do they take the official story? Are they a little suspect? What do you hear?
It matters on, you know, where they're coming from and how comfortable they feel speaking out. There's how I feel about these events is that there's, you know, an official story and there's always another story. That when the official one no longer works is a backup one. And neither one are the actual story. There's always another story if you look at events over time. But people tend to go along with whoever's around them. So if you get someone by themselves and they feel it's okay to voice their opinion and say, well, quite right. Then they're open to listening to what you have to say.
All right, so the story is the planes hit the towers, they burned, the steel beams burned, and the weight of the building just toppled down on every floor, and down it came. As an engineer, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, the official story being about, you know, this pancaking down business, if you think of the timing, it's 110 stories. And the ground shook on the North Tower for 8 seconds. Think of these floors pancaking down, slapping together, boom, boom, boom. Clap your hands together for each floor pancaking down. Mm-hmm. How many times can you clap your hands in 8 seconds? Not 110 times.
No. No way.
So another way of thinking of it, turn the towers on their sides and have a runner running at, you know, world record pace. Well, he can't even keep up with the unraveling of the building. it's incredibly fast. And then where's it left? The biggest thing that hit me was, where did it go? Where'd the buildings go? There's nothing much left. There's a few beams here and there, a few columns, but it's pretty much at ground level.
What, was it pulverized?
I call it dustified. And I have this unique vocabulary. I get a lot of grief for it, but it's actually more scientific than assigning a name of a known phenomena to an unknown characteristic that you come across. For example, smoke. Smoke is what you get from fires. If you don't know what this stuff is in the air, don't call it smoke. I just call it fumes because it's a generic term for something.
Sure.
Something hazy in the air. Well, for the buildings, we don't know. This is a new process we haven't seen before. So I call it dustification. The building turned to dust.
They both did, didn't they?
Not both. There was, building one turned to dust, two, seven, four, three, most of four, three in the middle of six.
Now, what would turn something like that into dust?
That's a good question.
I mean, let's rule out a plane hitting the building should not turn the buildings into dust, correct?
Correct.
What about some kind of controlled demolition?
That doesn't turn the building to powder either.
They just collapse, right?
They turn to powder in midair. You could see images of a piece of steel flying through the air, melting like ice cream, trailing dust, and there's nothing. They hit the ground.
There was some residue of thermite found. What is it, and what does that mean?
Thermite is basically rust and aluminum powder. Well, the building was made out of steel, and if you turn it into dust in midair, that dust is going to rust by the time it hits the ground. The buildings were covered with aluminum cladding, and if you turn that into dust, you have dustified aluminum and dustified steel. So if you look at the dust that's around on the streets, if you don't have those components in it, you have something more seriously wrong. So it's something you would really expect. But also, if you think about what thermite is, what does it do? It melts things. It has a tremendous amount of heat for a short period of time. The buildings didn't melt. They didn't burn up. They didn't crash down. They turned to powder in midair.
Yeah, no,
thermite
right.
Can't do that.